I need your prayers.
I have nothing without the Lord and the help of His Spirit. I'm very thankful to be here. I count it a privilege to be part of the family of God. The song says, I have a good home in the fold of my Lord. And that's my testimony. I ask that you pray with us, the Lord, to bless His word in the time that we have. I'd like to begin in a familiar passage in the book of Luke. Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning in the first verse. Thank you. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Lord posed a question unto the people here, and I believe unto us, a question that I can't answer for you and that you can't answer for me. And I have to believe the reason that he asked this question was because perhaps he didn't know with the decisions and the choices that he would leave to each of us what the answer would be. Or perhaps it was for the intent for us to examine ourselves. When the Lord returns, will he find a people of faith? Will he find faith within me? And so he gave a parable, a story here that was for the express intent purpose that we might always to pray and not to faint. There was no question about the purpose of what Jesus was saying here, or what he wanted it to accomplish and stir within us. Of an unjust judge, of one that doesn't even have the love that God has for us, that didn't send his son to die for us, yet because of their continual coming unto him, he had mercy and compassion. And so he wanted us to see within that a picture of our Almighty God. That we in our generation be a people of faith. That we not grow weary and faint in our minds. That we not falter by the wayside. I thought of the story of Elijah. I'd like to turn and read an excerpt out of the life of Elijah found in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. After the account of the altar and the worshipers of Baal and the way the Lord revealed himself unto them there on that mountain. If you'll remember that Lord had declared through Elijah that for the space of time of 3.5 years that it wouldn't rain on the earth because of the wickedness in the land. And it didn't, as the word of the Lord was given. But as this time came now and the Lord revealed himself unto the people there, it was time for him now to fulfill his word and bring again rain upon the earth. So Elijah went up. We'll begin here in the 41st verse. Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. What is the sound of rain? Don't we usually think of that as thunder? You hear the thunder rolling in the background and you hear and you know, there's rain on the way. But you know, I'm not sure that's what he heard here. I believe that there was something that faith took hold of. To believe in the word of the Lord, whether I see a cloud in the sky or whether I don't. Whether I hear the sound of thunder or whether I don't. The word of the Lord is unchanged by the circumstances that I see. The word of the Lord is not limited by the circumstances. It's limited, if it is, by my inability to believe in God, to believe in who He is. Elijah believed in God. He was desperate here, no doubt. Lord, I can't bring rain on the earth. didn't have the ability even in those days to see the clouds as they do now. Lord, I am helpless here, except God in heaven come and is moved on our circumstance here and answer prayer. And so it began, and by faith he told the king, get ready. It's coming. I've heard the word of the Lord. I know what the Lord's going to do. You remember what the scripture says of Abraham? That Abraham staggered not in unbelief. He wasn't moved by the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't look at the circumstance and say, God's not able. But he had faith in him. Elijah went up to get into the place, no doubt as close as to God as he could feel that he could. Went up to the top of the mountain. Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. You ever been in a place like that? Lord, I can't move this circumstance unless you do. Lord, I can't do anything about this situation unless you move. So Lord, I want to get to a place. I want to get to a place that there's nothing that hinders me. I want to get into a place that I can get just as close to the Lord as I can. Oh, folks, the Lord has a purpose in the things that He allows to come in our lives. May we then say, Lord, I want to get to the top of a place called Carmel. And I want to fall there on my face with my head between my knees. There's no self. There's no flesh in the way. I've gotten all that out of the way. And I'm saying, Lord, have mercy on me. And he began to pray. And he prayed once, and did the rain begin to come? Said that he said unto his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. And he did this 7 times. He'd go and say, is there any sign? Is it working? Is there any evidence that the situation is changing here? You know, we as a people want to see some signs. And if I'm not careful, I'll begin to get frustrated and discouraged. Lord, I prayed. I still don't see the clouds and I don't hear the thunder. But what did Elijah do? He didn't give up in unbelief. He didn't faint, but he, as the scripture said, men ought always to pray. So he went back again to that secret place of prayer with his head between his knees. Father, have mercy on us. 7 times, the second time, nothing. The third time, nothing. But he continued because he believed in God. And as we know the story, eventually, by his interceding, there was a cloud the size of a man's hand in the sky. Oh, that was enough. He said, you better get going before the rain catches you. It's on the way now. Because I don't look at the circumstances. I don't believe in the circumstances. I believe in God. And I believe in what He's able to do. We read a scripture in the book of James that refers to this account. James, the 5th chapter. James 5 and 13 are familiar prescription unto us. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. I don't want anything to hinder me. I want to be able to get on top there. I want to be able to make sure that everything is clear. Confess your faults one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. May the Lord help us in our generation to be a people of faith. To be a people that don't falter at the word of the Lord, but that are strong in faith, staggering not in unbelief. Folks, we live in a time and in a generation that is very conducive to the erosion of our faith. It's not conducive to our belief in Almighty God. Amen. And the way that the enemy wants to work is to begin to erode the foundation that the house is built on. Psalms chapter 11 said that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's nothing left for the house to stand upon. Folks, we need a foundation, every one of us, for ourselves, built on an understanding and a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Jesus said unto Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, some this and some that. There's so many opinions. But who do you say that I am? Lord, thou art the Son of God. I believe in my heart. I know, regardless of what I see and what I hear around me, thou art the Christ, the one that we've looked for, our hope and our salvation. Blessed art thou, Peter. Flesh and blood is not revealed it unto you, but my Father in heaven, and upon this rock will I build something, a foundation that I've laid now of a revelation and understanding to your heart and to my heart of who God is. It's not, it becomes more than just a doctrine, a dogma, a creed, something legalistic. It becomes a relationship with Almighty God. It's built on a foundation that I know who God is. He said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil." Folks, if we're not careful in our generation, it's easy to say, "Lord, I believe the scriptures that say all things work together for good." But do I bear the fruit of it in my life? Lord, help me to be strong in faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man. That foundation is to be able to see God for who He is. To be able to have a vision and an understanding of who God is. That our vision not be marred in our day. To bring God down from His position that Isaiah saw Him in. As a God that's high and lifted up. Whenever I come to Him in prayer, it was said something about when people ask you, "That's all you do?" Yes, that's all that I do. What more could you do but to go to Almighty God? May we not get into a place that I begin to think prayer is limited. Prayer is a last resort option. Whenever nothing else works, there's nothing left to do but to pray to the Lord. Oh, but may we see it as the weapon that it is, as the blessing and the privilege that's available unto you and me today. Amen. To be able to come unto Almighty God, to the one that I've been building a relationship with. Lord, I don't understand it all, but I know in whom I have believed. And I know that You're able to keep that I've committed into Your hands. Folks, the question today is not whether God can heal. The question is not whether God can provide for the needs of your life. Oh, how many times has He proven it? We've heard the stories today. The question is not whether God has the ability to do it. But Lord, do I have the ability to hold on to it? Do I have the ability to stand on it? To be able to see Almighty God for what He is. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Second Corinthians 10 and verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The weapons of our warfare are not limited. They're not weak. It's not something that I fall back on when I can't find anything that's better. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Folks, how many times have we heard the testimonies recently of God calling after those that have been out in sin for years? May we be strong in faith today. Don't give up praying for those that are lost. Don't give up on those that have walked away and gone another way. Folks, may we be strong in faith, because if we aren't, who will be in our generation? May the Lord help us to intercede and to have a place
every one of us in our closet of prayer before the Lord to have effectual, fervent prayer that can move mountains, that can move Almighty God upon His throne. The Lord wants to give us weapons. What does the Scripture say of the shield of faith? Whereby you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. That almost sounds like a cure-all, doesn't it? It sounds like a one-size-fits-all situation. You know, the Lord is able to take, because it is a personal faith. It is a personal relationship. My faith in God will carry me through no matter what the circumstance and the situation and the difficulty, if I'll stand on that and I'll believe in Him. But the enemy comes along. He did it to the disciples in a ship that was tossed back and forth with the waves of the sea. They went and woke Jesus up and said, "Jesus, don't you care that we perish?" Where did that thought come from? Of course Jesus cared. You know, the enemy is right there to present a thought, to present a doubt, to put a question mark in our minds. Folks, it's not a condemnation for me to realize that's the way the enemy works, but for me to say, "Lord, strengthen my weapons. Lord, help me to be able to bring into captivity everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of who God is, against an understanding, against my vision that sees Him high and lifted up in my circumstances, not just when I'm on top of the mountain, but when I'm coming to Him in prayer and my heart is heavy and I don't see a way through. Lord, I'm coming to You as Almighty God. And I know that You're well able. I know that You're able to move this situation in my life to be able to bring into captivity." He did it to Eve as well. Presented a thought that changed her view of who God was, that brought a question mark in her mind of the very nature of God. You know, every one of us, I dare say, will go through the valley of question. We'll have questions presented to my mind. I don't understand. I'm struggling. I can't feel this. But faith, a foundation upon which I build, doesn't have to crumble in a time like that. Psalm number 106 says, "I know." There's a persuasion there. There's not a question mark that I see in this song. But it says, "I know on whom my faith is fixed. I know in whom I trust. I know that Christ abides in me and all His ways are just." Do we know? Mention about our generation that is conducive to the erosion of our faith. It's not something many times that's just torn down overnight. But the enemy wants to undermine our belief and our vision and our spiritual view of who God is. He wants to undermine it with an undercurrent, to be able to erode away little by little. Sometimes by the wounds and the battles of life. "Lord, I'm struggling under this one. Lord, help me to be able that the foundations not crumble here." The Lord is well able to do that. The enemy wants to try to erode the faith of the people of God in our generation. He wants to replace the supernatural with a natural explanation. Read about somebody that was trying to explain the miracles of Christ. You know, people today will do contortions to try to fit a natural explanation into what we read. Then I'll try to explain, "Well, this must be the way that the Red Sea parted." Try that one in a natural sense. That's how a certain wind and a certain way, there's got to be a natural explanation to it. I heard of somebody that believed and presented the idea that Jesus walking on the water was really a natural phenomenon. And it was due to a climate change, that sound familiar? A cycle of the climate that brought some cold air in the region and it caused the lake to freeze over and there were floating ice floes. And so Jesus stepped out on one of those and He was on an ice floe. Folks, we don't need to bring God down. Amen. We don't need to bring Him down to our level. God is not subject to the laws of physics. They are subject unto God because He's the one that created. He's the one that wrote the rule book. And He's able to override it. He's able to step in divinely, miraculously. And He's able to override the laws of physics and nature on our behalf. Are you thankful today to serve that kind of God? Aren't you thankful that's the one that we come to in prayer? Lord, I need an answer. So whenever I have a view like this of God, it says, Lord, I don't want a cheap substitute. Lord, I want the working of God in my life. I want You to be able to get the glory in my life and in my circumstance. You know, there's a psychological explanation for every spiritual need. Our world, you read about the mass shootings and all the tragedies that happen in our world, and there's always a mental condition or an emotional imbalance or something that explains evil. Something that explains anything beyond the natural. They try to bring it down to the natural level. Folks, we serve not a natural God. We serve a supernatural God. We fight a battle that is a spiritual battle, that the enemy is vying for every one of us. And he's going after our faith. He wants to erode those things that he sees are most valuable. He wants to get me into a place that my prayer is not effectual, that I don't see the value of interceding prayer, of sticking with it until I see the battle through. I'd like to speak of something else that the enemy is trying, I believe, to use to erode our faith. The increased availability of a convenient alternative to God's divine intervention. I want to say it again, the increased availability, very accessible, very available, very much at hand, to a convenient alternative to God's divine intervention. Not talking now about there is no other alternative. There is no other option. So get Lord, I guess I'll just look to You. The increased availability. On every hand of man being able to say, I can do this for you. So easily, so quickly. It's so convenient now. It's so accessible. I would propose to your consideration today, the convenience and availability of a thing doesn't make it right. It has no bearing on whether or not that will increase my faith and draw me close to the Lord. A reduced sense of day-to-day dependence on God. We're increasingly a society that's not agricultural, and I just use this as an example. My job, I don't depend on the rain to fall. I don't depend on the sunshine to pay my paycheck. I work with jet engines and the sale of jet engines and those kind of things. And if I'm not careful, in a world that is almost man-made, I can begin to lose sight of my daily dependence on the Lord. On my daily, I'm so close to it that I realize, Lord, if You don't send the rain today, Lord, I'm in trouble. But whenever I go and I'm not condemning where we're at as a society and jobs changing and those sorts of things, but I would that as the warning went forth in Deuteronomy chapter 6, take heed to yourself. Whenever you go into the land and you find houses built that you didn't build, and you find vineyards planted that you didn't plant, then take heed to yourself, lest you forget God. May the Lord help us, because folks, the foundation of this thing is built on a daily experience with the Lord, on a relationship with Him. That I build day by day. I've learned the sound of His voice. I know who He is because of the communion that I've had with Him. And I've learned to trust Him even in those small things. You know the Lord. I'll back up. Let's talk about the devil first. The devil wants to get us into a place that he'll say, what about this down the road? What if you were to face this kind of situation? What if you were to face that kind of situation? You know, we've had those discussions. What would you do in some of these circumstances that disaster strikes and I have to say, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I'll do in any circumstance but by the grace of God. But my dependence and faith is in Him. Lord, Lord, help me. Guide me. You know,
believe the Lord wants to show His glory still today.
Yes,
to a people that are whose eyes are fixed on Him. As we heard the scripture, be still and know that I am God. Be still and remember. Be reminded. Let your faith be lifted up to know who I really am that you're praying to. I'd like to look now at Mark, the second chapter. Try not to be too much longer. Mark, chapter 2. The 8th verse. This is the story of the man with palsy. It was let down through the roof. The Lord had compassion and mercy on him. He not only healed the condition of his body, but as is always the situation with the Lord, He's looking out for both. He's the only one that has soul and body in His hands. And so as He looked down on that man that was stricken with a palsy, He saw not only the outward condition, but He was looking down on the condition of the heart. And He said, I have a healing for the whole man. I have a healing that will touch you from the inside out, and you can go and rise up from here a new man. Those that looked on, though, weren't always convinced. There were skeptics in that day as well. And so they began to say, certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say unto the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. You know, Jesus was one that was, we read, was filled with compassion. He looked upon the multitudes and his heart was moved out towards them because of the things that they heard. And you know, I have to believe today, some of the requests that were brought in here today, the Lord's heart was moved. The Lord's heart is moved. It's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know, there was a reason for why Jesus did what he did. It was not only out of a heart of compassion, but he wanted to be able to point them to someone. He wanted to be able to show them the power of the Father, to be able to demonstrate to them in a way that they could get a hold of and see, this is the power of God. The power of God, you're not able to see inside the Spirit. Oh, the Lord did a change to Legion that they could see on the outside. But he wanted to show them, here's what the power of God can do. Look at this man that's laid out infirm and sick. Here's what the power of God can do. Rise up, take up your bed and walk. The power of the Word of God is able to speak to those that are infirm. To speak to the boy that was already dead and breathe breath into his life again. That's the power of God. That's the one that you're dealing with. Why was that important? Because your time is going to come. That you need to come before Him. And folks, we can't even come before God without belief that He is. The scripture says it is impossible without faith to please Him. For no man cometh to the Father except by faith. That I believe that He is. That I believe that He died for my sins. You're going to need this faith. You're going to need a belief in who God is. You're going to need to be able to know that the chains, no matter how thick and strong they are no match for Almighty God. And so I want to demonstrate to you here, folks, there was a connection between the plan of God for the soul and the plan of God for the body. It was the same blood that atones for both. It was the same salvation that is made available unto us today. The healing of our body and the salvation of our souls. What a privilege. What a blessing. Don't tell me this is bondage. Thank the Lord that I can come and say, Lord, I need a little bit more of that blood today. Lord, I need, but I want us to realize again today, the question of divine healing is not whether God is able to heal. Divine healing I like to think of more as divine trust, because it's a consecration of me bringing myself to God. It is not that there's no better option, or no other option, rather. It's not that there's no other alternatives. It's not based solely on the inability of man.
If it was, as the ability of man increases, my faith is gone. But my faith is to be fixed in an almighty God that's able to touch both soul and body, that's able to reach out and knows what's best for my life. And I can say, God, thy way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling. But folks, it's one thing, as the song says, you speak of faith when you're up on the mountain, but then things change. And you're down in the valley. Oh, but folks, he's the same God. He's the same God that's able to reach down in our valleys and bring us out. And as we heard already in this service today, has the Lord failed? Should he choose to say it's time to go home? Folks, I say it's the most beautiful way to be able to say, Lord, I'm all yours. Lord, do with me as you will. And as I come before God, I come before one that I've built a relationship with. And I say, Lord, I know who you are. Lord, I know that you're able to speak the word and touch this thing and raise it up. But what did Job say? Did Job say, I'm going to experiment? This is an experiential salvation, not an experimental salvation. This is not something that we try to dabble our foot in the water and see, I'm going to see if it seems safe to me at first. But launch out into the deep. Cut forth the life rafts, as he told Paul, and Paul told the people on the ship there. The ship is about to go down. He said, no, an angel spoke to me by night and said, not a single life will be lost. There's some comfort, though, that I have in those lifeboats. Just in case. Just in case. Cut them away, he told the men there. Want to be able to say as Job, by the grace of God. Because, folks, it's what makes any of this possible. It's not in my resolve, determination, power, strength, ability. It's not in pride. It's not in a harsh spirit. But it's in me getting to a place before God that I say, God, I'm all yours. Lord, I surrender my all unto you. And the Lord is able to take and do what we're not able to. We read in Hebrews 6. We won't turn there for the sake of time. Read about a hope. And it said that that hope is founded on two immutable things. One, in that we know who God is. The other is that it's impossible for him to lie. So he's given us his word that tells us, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Promise one. Promise two is, I cannot lie. The promises that I've given unto you, they're sure, they're steadfast, they're eternal, they're unchanging, regardless of how the world changes around you. And so it's why we, as we look forward from 2017, can with assurance say, Lord, I know in whom I have believed. Oh, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Throughout all time, he's the one that my faith is built upon. And so with... What does it say? I face a hostile world with soul and mind at rest only because of that hope. My hope in who God is. My hope in the fact that his immutable counsel never changes. So I can put my life on the line in his hands. And it's a safe thing to do. And it goes on then to say this hope is an anchor. You know, we need an anchor today. We need something whenever the storms come our way. An anchor is not needed in calm waters. But folks, the time to throw the anchor is whenever the storms come. And may the Lord help us today to throw anchor. I remember a testimony in the old tabernacle a few years ago of Sister Marilyn Eck. She was talking about that song testifying of, believe, solid rock. Or was talking about the anchor which holds within the veil. And she told a story about her grandson, I believe, that was fishing with his father. And he jumped out of the boat and came back and said, what'd you do? Well, I threw the anchor out and I wanted to tamp it down into the mud. Because I wanted to make sure that it wasn't going anywhere. May the Lord help us. That we throw in the anchor. You know where this anchor is anchored, though? It's not in the mud. It says it anchors to that within the veil. This anchor is thrown on the other side of heaven. It's something that's not temporal. If we look only at those things that are temporal, folks, we're going to lose the vision. We're going to lose our perspective. But I've got to be able to see beyond the veil. I've got to realize there's something more to this than this current situation. And so Paul said, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for me a far more exceeding and what? Eternal weight of glory. I've got a hope now. That's anchored in who God is. That's anchored in His Word. And it's anchored where? It's anchored eternally. As I get closer and closer to my time to cross over, that anchor doesn't have to waver. That anchor, I'm just getting closer to it. It's anchored into that which is eternal. May the Lord help us this afternoon. Scripture says we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. We can have assurance and confidence in God, in who God is. In our time, in our generation, thought about the scripture that says, faith cometh by hearing. And I felt a check. I felt a challenge within me. Lord, how many years have I heard? Heard when, remember Sister Stevens telling so many testimonies over there. How many years have I heard? Lord, help me then. Help me that this works something within me. Children and young people, I want to encourage you. Starting your youth. Give God opportunity to show Himself to you. I remember a time whenever I heard that the Lord takes care of the small and He takes care of the great. I had a wart on my hand as a teenager. And it bothered me. I didn't want it. And I remember getting a hold of some acid one time. And I put that acid on there, and what do you know, it burned it off. A couple days, it began growing back. And the Lord came along. In my young experience with Him, He said, Clint, I can do it. But you know what He said to me? I want you to be willing to say, Lord, this is the way I'm going. Regardless of whether it works or whether it doesn't. This is not an experimental thing. It's an experiential thing. I want to experience this. And so I came to the place by the Lord's grace. I said, Lord, this is Yours. I remember going to ministers and asking for them to lay hands and pray on me, over me. You know, it's never come back. Folks, the Lord wants to reveal Himself to us. To every one of us that are willing to say, Lord, I want to see Your glory. He's looking for a people then in order to show His glory to us, to our generation, to the generation that's coming. He's looking for a people then that are willing to allow Him to show His glory, that are willing to be still, that are willing to say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I yield. Though You slay me, Lord, yet will I trust in You. Lord, I am not careful to answer them in this matter. I have something that anchors me even if the flames aren't extinguished. I know there's one that'll stand beside me. Folks, the Lord still wants to be in your fires. We heard about it in the song. The Lord still wants to be with us in our fires, the great potter. If we'll say, Lord, I surrender to the great plan of God, the great working of God within our lives. Folks, you see how it's so much better than just a dogma? It's so much more than just the letter that kills. But there's spirit that gives life to it. There's something that gives hope. There's something beautiful about it. Because if I'm left with the letter, you know I'll leave behind a trail of inconsistencies. But if it's a faith that's anchored in the knowledge of the one I love and know, folks, there's an anchor that can hold and keep us throughout this life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.